It's the last of the Singing Cowboys.
With a trumpet? No wonder he was the last. Or horn or whatever that is. I think those are posers.
Well, it is the Marshall Tucker Band, so you got to be careful.
Okay, all right. Well, I understand Rosie might be online from Tucson. Now, we're going to try this to bring him in and see if we can't both join conversation from two remote parts of Arizona at the same time.
Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2.
Welcome to the program. How is I tell you what, Granite Mountain is beautiful this morning. What do those Catalinas look like?
Well, Catalinas look pretty good. We're watching the sunrise come up over the Rincons, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Jennifer kind of got hooked on a sunset picture of the Catalinas last night from the motel room, staying at the Hilton there on Broadway. It was awfully nice. Beautiful evening, beautiful morning. Probably a little bit warmer than where you are, but sounds like you're having a nice sunrise yourself.
You know, the girls said last night, man, this is great. Why don't we live up here? And I said, just look at the temperature in the morning, and that'll tell you why.
You got to start working on Amanda there.
It was 51 degrees, and it dropped down to 43 by the time we got out to the outskirts where we are. But I tell you what, the sun is up. It is beautiful. And where we're at, it's the next ridge that the fire line starts at. So we're completely surrounded by beautiful manzanitas and junipers and scrub oaks, and we've got choya, we've got prickly pear, and it's just, you can't tell from where we're standing that there was ever a fire nearby, but over this ridge, it's scorched earth. I mean, there's a little bit of green that's come back on the ground cover, but it is a beautiful Saturday morning.
Well, you know, I'm never averse to taking the long way to anywhere. So we didn't come down Interstate 10 and 17. Of course, we went the back way, 77, through Florence Junction. And I tell you what, at Oracle and Oracle Junction, Romy, the grass is so thick you can't even see the ground, and it's as high as your knees. Absolutely gorgeous. Mom threw a 5-gallon paint bucket in the back of the truck as we were finishing loading up the truck at the house, and she says, if I see prickly pears on the way home, you're stopping. And I want to tell you, the prickly pear at Oracle are so loaded, we're going to need a lot more than just one 5-gallon bucket. It's going to be gorgeous. We got the start of Jennifer's prickly pear jelly season officially starting on the way home today.
Excellent. We have this day in history is pretty packed. It's a big week for military and exploration history. It was this week back in 1565, the first European battle happened on American soil. Spanish captured a French settlement near present-day Jacksonville, Florida. This ultimately sent the French north to Nova Scotia, where they stayed until the English exiled them down to where they landed in Louisiana, where our roots come from, the Arcadian people. Then fast forward a couple years and to the year 1777, the Redcoats killed a bunch of Americans in a surprise midnight massacre. They were ordered to not load any bullets into their guns to ensure that no shots were discharged alarming anybody, but just to go in with bayonets and swords. And this acted as a rallying cry throughout the entire Revolutionary War. Then the following year, in 1778, Indians and loyalists to the crown burned German flats. Now, luckily, very few casualties in that, because four patriots who were out scouting ran into this column of attackers. Three of them were killed. The one that was managed to escape ran 9 miles back to German flats, was able to warn everybody, who were then able to flee to local forts and live safely while their town was being destroyed. Almost 100 years later, fast forwarding to 1868, the Cheyenne and Sioux attacked 50 frontiersmen in Colorado. Now, we've heard, I believe Bob Bozbell told the story, if I remember right, when we were broadcasting at the Western Art Show back in May. Two men from that frontiersman group slipped out and crept through enemy lines under the cover of darkness and were able to escape, bringing in two columns, one of the two local columns of Buffalo soldiers, and they arrived just in time to save the 10 remaining frontiersmen who were surrounded by what they say could have been up to 600 Indians. Man, just think about that for a minute. Walking in the middle of the night, no phone, no internet, no water, aimlessly wandering, knowing that you're surrounded by a bunch of Indians who will probably torture you if you got cat. That takes some true grit, man. They don't. You always hear they don't make it like they used to. They don't make us like we used to either, I don't think. Fast forwarding to 1916, the Red Baron was finally shot down his first plane, a German airborne fighter, and by the time he was ultimately shot down in 1918, he had downed 80 enemy aircraft in his two-year run as the Red Baron. And then the Germans also bombed, page two here, bombed into what was formerly St. Petersburg. So, big week in military history, but my favorite article for this week in history isn't about the wars, but the exploration. So Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1942. So just 1492. So less than 30 years later, Portuguese navigator Fernando Molina set sail from Spain in an effort to find a western sea route to the Spice Islands of Indonesia. He had five ships and 250 men with him. They sailed to West Africa and then in Brazil. So this is south of the equator. And so now they're actually wintering in what is our summer. And during the time of the wintering, some of the Spanish men that were with this Portuguese navigator tried to take over. He crushed their attempt to overthrow him, executed one of the captains, and then left the other captain in Brazil when they set sail later in August, as the southern hemisphere summer was coming on and they continued along. So then in October, he discovered the Strait of Malina, which is very south point on the South America. And by this time, they're down to three ships. One had been wrecked, another deserted, and it took 38 days for them to navigate through this strait. They get to the other side of the strait, so now they're in the Pacific Ocean, and they sail for 99 days across the water. And this is actually how the Pacific Coast got its name. The water was so calm and so peaceful. The Latin word pacifis is where the Pacific Ocean got its name from this voyage. So they get to, they finally get to land, and they are so starving, they're actually eating the leather off the bottom of their boots to stay alive, and they land on Guam. 10 days later, they drop anchor at a Philippine islands, and they're only, at this point, 400 miles from the Spice Islands they set out for. Unfortunately, this is where Molina met his demise, because the local tribe there convinced them to help fight this other local tribe. So they went to the other island to fight him, and he got stuck in the neck with a poison arrow, and he passes away. So then one of the Spanish captains takes over the voyage. They get to the Indonesian islands, get the spice, sail around Africa, come back and land in Spain. This trip took 2 years and is said to have sailed over 14,000 leagues, which is about 50,000 miles. Now that's impressive. Can you imagine? And what are you going to do starving in a boat? The middle, 99 days.
I don't
not seen land anywhere.
I don't care how calm the Pacific Ocean is when you're reduced to chewing your shoe leather. That's a tough cruise.
Man, I love those old exploration stories and just, man, the hardiness of.
Well, how about as the Spanish explorers impacted Arizona in particular? How about Cabeza de Vaca and his voyage, crash landing on the Texas Gulf Coast during a hurricane, and he walks from basically Galveston Island, south of Houston. He walks from Houston to Mexico City, taking a trip that lasts 8 years, virtually naked and barefooted, being traded as a slave between one Native American Indian tribe to the next. How about those 8 years, huh? talk about tough and hardy. My goodness. Cabeza de Vaca, one of the greatest history books and accounts of personal endurance I've ever read.
And speaking of Mexico City, it was on this week in 1985, the 8.1 earthquake shook the city and left 10,000 dead and 30,000 injured. Also in exploration history, this week Lewis and Clark returned to they got back to the first white settlement on the Missouri River 2.5 years after they left looking for a passageway to the Pacific. So pretty historic week here.
And now we're making history broadcasting from all different points of the great state of Arizona. Romy,
we need one more Comrex and send Mama somewhere. Where would Mom want to go?
Triangulate. That's right. Triangulate. Romy broadcasting from a ridgetop outside of Prescott, Arizona. I am broadcasting from 150 South Camino Seco, just south of Broadway in Tucson, at what will be the grand opening of the showroom for Assurance Builders. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show, as well as our newspaper article found in the Arizona Republic today about potholes you'll want to avoid as a do-it-yourselfer. We're talking about the things that homeowners, in our experience, most often do wrong. Stay tuned. We'll be covering that in the 9 and 10 o'clock hour and keeping y'all, we're going to protect you from yourself.
I got my glass on the ridge, and I haven't seen Eisenhower coming back. So if we don't see from him in about another 15 minutes, you're talking trees with me. I'll play a little game and see how many trees I can identify right here in this natural landscape at about, I'm not sure. I know Prescott's right at 5,200 feet above elevation. I think the pass coming over here said 6,000, but I've dropped a little. So I'm probably at about 58, right on that fine high desert borderline. A little bit farther to the north, it goes all into grass plains for what looks like miles. I've tried to take a few pictures, and I have published a few on our Facebook page, but all I have with me is just my camera phone, and it does not, you know, you take the picture and you look at it, and you're like, man, this just does not do the justice of this beautiful, beautiful setting we're in. I mean, it goes on 4 miles. It's Rosie on the House, final segment of the 7 o'clock hour coming up.